Good morning. I want to thank all of you for again being here this morning and bless you. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, and while you're going there, I want to share a little bit about my last message. You may not remember my last message, but I used a verse, and as preachers sometimes, we always try to make sure that our verses are in context. But in my last message, I used a verse that was way out. Imagine that. A brother came to me after the service and he said, "I challenge you to read the verses after the verse you shared." So I want to tell you about that verse this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I used verse 9, and I'm going to read that verse here, and then we're going to see what that verse means. And I was talking about what's in the future, what we have for us in heaven. And this is the verse I used. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Fits perfectly, doesn't it? And that's the way I took it, as we don't know everything that God has in store for us. But as I studied a little deeper into this one, I believe this verse is talking, it comes from the Old Testament, I believe it's talking, a little bit earlier here in verse 7, he talks about a mystery. I think he's talking about salvation. And I hope I have that right. "But those that do not know him," it says, "they haven't seen, they haven't heard, they haven't got the concept of salvation." But then he says after this in verse 10, he says, "But God hath revealed..." Thank you, Sheldon. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." God has revealed to us this whole plan of salvation. So I want you to know that as ministers, we are not perfect. We goof up sometimes too. And I try really hard to keep my verses in context, but this one here I did not research enough. And open up to you, if you see that again, please share with us. We don't want to come across the pulpit with something that is not accurate. So God bless you for that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2. For those of you that are visiting, I began a series of messages called Living the Dream. It has to do with the life of Christ. With the idea that each one of us has a dream. We have the dream of becoming something in this world, or we have the dream of becoming like Christ. And this morning I've titled my message, Worship. And I'm going to again ask you to stand for those of you that it's comfortable to do so. Matthew 2, we're going to begin in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 11. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Let's pick up at verse 11 here. Let's catch this. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." You may be seated. Worship. As I was looking at this subject this week, My mind went to, can I worship? Can I be a Christian? Can I walk the Christian life without worship? Maybe we can pick up on that as we go through this message this morning. We don't know a whole lot about the wise men, but we see they were searching for something. When they found it, what did they do? They fell down and worshiped. And I had to ask myself, is one of the reasons that I don't worship like I should because I'm not seeking? I'm not looking. I'm satisfied. I'm happy where I'm at. They were seeking and they found. And they fell down and worshiped Him. Worship. We have a little saying up here on the back. Worship is an inward feeling. And I sat and I thought this through for a while. And I hope you can understand where I'm coming from. But worship is an inward feeling. It's something that we sense from the inside. And then it's an outward action. Worship. It's an outward action that reflects the worth of God. How much value do I place on God? Is He enough that I want to worship Him? Our focus this morning is to realize that true worship is vital. Take that word, vital. It's essential. True worship is vital in our Christian life today. It is absolutely necessary. And I want us to pick up a little bit what happens this morning when we worship. Some of the things that I guess I have never seen before, but have proven themselves to be true. I want to look at two kinds of worship. First of all, this morning, we're going to look at a self-centered worship. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. I hesitated a bit. We're going to go to verse 1 here, Daniel 3:1. I hesitated a bit about going to this, but I thought, no, we need to understand what it is to worship in a self-centered way. We want to worship in a godly manner, but we're going to look first of all at worship in a self-centered way. Self-centered worship. We're going to begin reading in Daniel 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 3 score cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So here he has this big image of gold that he's created and he set it up. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when you hear all these different kinds of music," he says, let me just finish reading that. "Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Here we see a picture of worshiping in a sensual way. Worshiping in a way that is not God-centered. It's self-centered. And as we look around at our world today, we see so much of this whole self-centered thing. I'm at the top of the list. It's me. I want it to be me. In my work, I'm only going to do what's good for me. I'm going to do what helps me climb the ladder of success. We focus inward. I'd be happy to help my neighbor if I will benefit from it myself. Me. I might even attend the church services. And if I feel I benefit from something, that's good. It's got to be turned towards me. If I don't feel that, the service was of no value. I'm going to love my wife or my husband or my children if I benefit from it. Me. I'm going to speak good to my neighbor if I see it will give me a good name along the way somewhere. Me. And for today, I'm glad to preach the sermon if it directs things to me and not God. Isn't that how we want to look at it sometimes? Me. This is a worship that focuses on self. Isaiah 29:13 says this, "Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, they have but have removed their heart from me, far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." He's saying, I'm kind of breaking this verse up in the middle here, but he's saying here that the people here were happy. They would rather be taught by the precepts of men, the things that men have set up, and not draw near other than with their mouths. Their actions didn't draw near. Their lips and their mouth, what they had to say was drawing near, but their actions themselves, what they did, their everyday walk, was not a walk of worship. And may I suggest this morning that we are far removed from this type of worship. But instead we have a worship that is real. I want us to look at number two. The second type of worship we want to look at is a worship that is God-centered. Rick Warren has a saying here. It says, when God is at the center, you worship. If He's not, you worry. When God is at the center, we worship. The purpose of worship is to honor, to exalt, to glorify and praise the One who has brought us salvation, who was willing to take on Himself our sins and set us free. One of the things that we realize about worship is that worship gives. So many times we like to get together in our church services and we walk in here and we sit here and we worship as a body, as a group together, and we're waiting for something that we can get. Worship is not about getting. Worship is about giving. When we come to church and we walk in here and we want to give to God, we want to honor Him with what we have, and we want to bless Him, we want to bless our brothers and sisters, it's amazing what we leave with. We leave blessed, but we leave not blessed when we think we can come to church and we just get. That's all we want is to get. I'm going to challenge you this morning. I don't think there's going to be a church service in this building where if you come here that you can leave those doors and you can honestly say, there was nothing there for me. When you come with a giving attitude and you give to God the praises and the worship He deserves, you give to your brothers and sisters love, you're going to leave with something. You're going to be blessed. Our verse that we talked about earlier, Matthew 2:11, says, and they fell down and they worshipped Him. Let me ask you in your personal time. I get excited when I think about worship because God has done so much through worship. In your personal time, are there times when you really come before the throne and you worship with everything you've got within you? Or are you coming in there and you're doing your 10 minutes because this is what I got to do, but instead of making that connection, you come in and you leave because I got something I need to do? Or are you coming in there, you're making connection with the Father because you truly want to worship? Sorry, my voice is kind of hoarse this morning. When we come into His presence with true worship, we won't be disappointed. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. We want to look a little bit here at a vision that Isaiah had. And by the way, we could have gone a little further in the book of Daniel here with Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrew boys, and we could have seen what happened when they worshipped. Actually, I'm going to go back to that. There's something that I missed in there that I really want us to catch this morning. We're going to back up a little bit. Just keep your finger there in Isaiah 6, verse 1. We'll come to that in just a bit here. But if we go back to Daniel chapter 3, we have the three Hebrew boys that refused to worship. They were asked to worship, and they refused to worship the God of this world. They ended up being put into the furnace, where it was hot. And we know, most of us know this story here, how all of a sudden there was a fourth person walking in the furnace. And they even said it looks like the Son of God. But then there's a verse I want to pick up on before we move on here. Verse 18 of Daniel 3 says this. And this is Nebuchadnezzar talking about the Hebrew children and their God. This is what Nebuchadnezzar says. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve, I'm sorry. Verse 28. I got that wrong. Verse 28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, this was after they were out of the fire, and they weren't harmed. They were whole. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Look what happened. They worshiped the real God, the true God. Yes, they went through trials. They went into a furnace. But the end result is their king said, you worship their God. Am I so convincing in my walk with Christ, in my worship, but others are looking in and saying, there's the God that I want to worship. I see it in his life. I see it in her life. I see that. That's the God I want. That's a challenge for me this morning. With those that I work with, say, that man there knows a God. With those that you meet from day to day, know that you love God. Isaiah 6, verse 1. Worship causes us to do three things. The first thing it does, it causes us to look up. We're looking here at King Uzziah. King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was a good king. He served for 52 years. And in his service, he had built a huge military. Everybody looked up to King Uzziah. King Uzziah was very prominent. He did well in his leadership. But then he died. And when he died, the throne was empty. It's about this time that God came to Isaiah. And he gave him a vision. And this is what he said in this vision. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Isaiah is now looking up. Yes, Isaiah worshipped. He was a man of God. But now he's looking up. I saw him sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. When we turn our focus from ourselves to worship, all of a sudden our focus goes on God. And the more we focus on God, the more we want to worship. The more we realize what he did for us in our life, the more we want to worship. Isaiah realized this. He saw the holiness of God. When we begin worshiping, he pulls our affections of this life away and we put them instead upon God. We look up. The next one we will look at is if we look inward. Let's go to verse 5 there. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Isaiah saw the holiness of God. And when he saw God's holiness, all of a sudden he could see what was within himself. Isaiah was a man who loved God. We have people here that love God this morning. But as we look at God, as we worship, all of a sudden we realize within us there are things that are not so holy. We see God's holiness. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah realized his undoneness. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. When we come to the Father and we realize that there are things in our lives that are not so holy as they should be, and we come to God and we talk to him, he comes and he cleanses us and he makes us holy. It makes us look inward. There's repentance that happens. Repentance is a turning away. It's turning to something better. When's the last time that I repented when I came before the Lord? I'm not going to ask you that this morning to raise your hand, but I want you to think in your own lives this morning. As you went throughout this week, as you spent time in the Word, as you spent time talking to the Father, bringing praise and worship to Him, are there times where He said, this needs to change? Are there times where He said, bless you, you're right where you need to be? But I believe often when we come into His presence, it's very seldom that we come in, that we don't find something God says, let's change this. You need to repent from this. Friends, repentance this morning is not a shame. Let's understand that this morning. Repentance is not a shame. Repentance is an honor. As we walk with God and we get close to Him and we understand what He has for us, He shows us these things, it's an honor for us to get on our knees and repent to Him, allow Him to wash us. That's what He wants to do. That's honor to Him. That's worship. But it's not worship when we turn our back on it. We tell God, you know, it's not that bad. What I did is not that big a deal. But when He says repent, we need to repent. It causes us to look inward. It also causes us to look outward. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Now Isaiah, he had a cleansing. The coal came and touched his tongue and he was made clean again. So God says, who can I send? And Isaiah says, send me. I'll go. It caused him to look outward on others. As we come before the Father, as we worship and as we are cleansed, we should have that desire within us to reach out. Whether it's reaching out to others that are living in sin and praying for them, or whether it's reaching out to bless those around us, we reach out. We don't keep that within ourselves. I like to think of the Holy Spirit, when we receive the Holy Spirit, as a cup. We get so much of the Holy Spirit, we worship and God blesses us, and all of a sudden the cup starts running over, bubbling over. We can't handle all of it. It's got to go somewhere. So we share with those around us. That's how I love to think about the salvation that God has given us, the Holy Spirit that He fills us with. We find excitement in following the call that God has given us. Worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshiped. That's by Jack Hayford. Think about that for a while. You and I are being formed into something today. This week in our walk of life, we were formed closer and closer to something that we're following. What are you closer to this week than you were last week? There's something. Am I closer to God? Am I closer to things of this world? As Christians, we need to be closer to God, walking closer to Him all the time. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, verse 25. I want us to look at what happens when we worship. And I'm going to step out of my comfort zone here a bit this morning. When we worship, the chains are broken. I'm going to share a little bit of my personal journey with you this morning. I got to a place in my life where things looked pretty dark. We call this depression. I did a little bit of research. It's interesting what I found. 1 in 5 people in America today struggles with depression. 1 in 5. That's not out there. That's amongst our churches too. 1 in 5 people struggle with depression. For those of us that have never faced depression, we can look at it. I used to. That's stupid. Get over it. I'm not going to tell you what causes depression this morning. But I want to give you an answer to what will help you out of depression. Depression is real. When we fight depression, it seems that we come to a place where we went out, then all of a sudden it's a desire to go back. Let's get deeper. But as we are cleansed, as we are made whole, that desire leaves and we no longer desire depression. And I want to be very careful how I share that this morning. Because it's a long, dark road. But I want us to know this morning, Faith Ann, you shared this morning about the crayons. That's been one of the illustrations that God has given me also. It's this box of crayons that are used and they're broken. Why don't we toss them? But God says, no, I can use those too. I shared here a while back about a vase that is broken. When this vase falls, it is broken. And God takes that vase and He puts it back together and you see all the little pieces. And as the light hits it, there's a beautiful prism. God sees the colors. Let's go to Acts 16, verse 25. Here we have the scripture, Paul and Silas. They faced a huge trial. You and I face huge trials today. Our trials are different. We don't all have the same trial. We have different trials. But they were facing a huge trial. They were thrown into prison because of some things that they did. They were preaching the word. And here it says in Acts 16, verse 25, and it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Excuse me. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Paul and Silas were here in prison. They had their feet in stocks. They couldn't go anywhere. They were in bondage. And I want to paint this picture to us this morning. They were worshiping, middle of the night. Here it says they were singing praises unto God. They were worshiping. It says they prayed. But when we come to a place where we know that we're in chains and we want out, yes, there is counseling help. But one of the things that I have found, and as I've been reading and I've been searching and studying this, one of the things that I've found that brings deliverance is worship. Worship. When we worship, Satan does not have a foothold. When we come to God and worship and we give Him everything we have and we continue to worship Him, Satan has to leave. There is no more room for him. We can go to Gideon. When Gideon, I'm not going to go to that scripture this morning, but when Gideon went out against the people that he was fighting, God said, no, you got too many people. No, you got too many people. Let's whittle this down to where you had 300 men. What happened? They went out, they grabbed the shofars, they blew their shofar, called to worship. They blew their shofar, they busted their little jars and took them off, and there was a light shining in the darkness. Who fought their battle for them? God did. Do you want God to fight your battle for you? Get on your knees and give yourself to Him and worship. I'm not trying to paint a picture that life is all peaches and cream when we get on our knees and worship. There's still trials. But get on your knees and worship. Give God everything you have. Allow Him to take your life and transform it to what He wants. To be used for Him. Paul and Silas prayed. And all of a sudden their stocks, the feet from their, or the bands on the stocks came off. I don't know if they were handcuffed or what all happened. But they walked out. They worshiped. Their heart was to please the One who redeemed them. Have I been redeemed? Have I chosen to allow Him to cleanse me, to wash me? When we pray and praise in the midst of our struggles and trials, it is when we can pray and praise in the midst of our struggles and trials, when we worship, when worship is also important. But let me challenge us with this. If we don't worship in the good times, we're not going to worship in the bad. We need to worship God today. We need to allow Him to use us today to worship Him with everything that we have. Bring Him honor and glory for what He's done for us. Then when we hit the hard spots, it's not going to change. We'll continue to worship. But if you expect that you're going to worship when the hard times hit and you're not worshiping now, I'm afraid it's not going to happen. I'm not saying God can't change through the hard times, change us through the hard times, and we worship because He can. But chances are, if we don't worship now, we hit those spots, it's going to be difficult for us to worship then. We could look at Job. Time's here to close. We could look at Job and see what he went through. Job went through some difficult, difficult times. He didn't see the outcome. He didn't see that we were going to learn from him. Yeah, Job went through a time of wavering. But in the end, he worshipped. John 4:23 says this, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Worship changes the worshipper into the image of the one worshipped. I want to be careful this morning. I've shared about depression some, difficulties that we face. And I know it's different for each one of us. But I want to share with you this morning what got me to the place where I could finally be above the water. Yeah, I came to the place where I kind of gave myself to God, "You can use me." And God did. He moved me a little closer to freedom. But when I got serious about God, and I'm not saying those of you this morning that are still struggling, you're not serious about God. But when I got serious about my worship, to honor God regardless of what comes into my life, that's where God gave me that freedom. And I cannot explain that freedom to you this morning. It's a freedom that's beyond anything I'd ever experienced before. It made a difference in our family. So I just challenge you this morning, whether you're in depression or whether you're just struggling with something, worship. Take this week. If you need to go back to the woods somewhere, maybe you need to go into your bedroom, close the door. Maybe you need to grab a friend and ask, "Can you go with me?" Find a place where you can worship. Maybe this morning you want to come up here and you want to give it to God and say, "God, would you take this?" He will. I'd like for you to stand this morning. We're going to pray. If God lays it on your heart that you need to come up here and give something to Him, that's fine. I invite you to do that. And if not, would you please, if you're struggling with something this week or right now, would you please find a place where you can get on your knees and where you can give it to God and where you can worship? There's peace. Friends, there's peace. There's victory. Satan is defeated already. And it's up to us if we want to be on that side or not. God's given us the opportunity. Aaron, I normally don't choose a song. Is Aaron still here? Lauren, are you leading us? I normally don't choose a song, but would you lead us in number 5 in the chorus book at the end of the service, please? Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, this morning You have blessed us again. You're so good to us. Father, You know our hearts. You know what we're made of from the inside out. Lord, You deserve our praise, our worship. There is none other that does, only You. Oh, how we love You. Father, You have proved to us that when we come to You and we worship You, that amazing things happen. You're the God that heals. Lord, it doesn't matter what our issue is, what our struggle is, You heal. Lord, I just pray for myself. I pray for our congregation here this morning, each one of us. Lord, we have pains, we have hurts. We're human. We struggle. But You're the God that heals, and we ask that You would just make that real to us. We bless You. We love You so much. Would You dismiss us now with Your honor and Your glory? In Your name we pray. Amen.